A couple of months ago, I released a video with my friend and former intelligence officer, David Grush.
Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Who blew the cover on a covert multi-decade-long UFO crash retrieval and reverse engineering program being funded by American taxpayer dollars.
We're done with the cover-up, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, dadgummit.
Grush isn't just some random guy. He's an Afghanistan combat veteran, a former 14-year senior intel officer with top-secret compartmentalized clearance. He handled presidential daily briefings, he's extremely polymathic, and he's very well regarded by almost all of his former colleagues.
I am for real.
Finally, and perhaps most importantly, he's not alone. He's brought 40 people who have handled exotic UFO material firsthand to the intelligence community's Inspector General.
Has this made you realize that we are not alone?
I knew it before. I didn't need this.
And he testified about his findings under oath in front of Congress this summer. So a lie here would completely tank his career and get him a lot of jail time.
Either you're going to jail, which I don't think you are based on my, getting to know you as a friend over the last 2 years. That's just not the vibe I get in my assessment of you.
We're facing an inflection point in history.
No more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops.
As more prosaic political forces are sleepwalking us into World War III, and the Middle East has turned into a tinderbox, I've often asked myself about whether UFOs should be taking up space in anybody's heads.
You know what the most common type of alien is?
Yeah.
Light.
But when I have those thoughts, I go back to my fundamental belief that these flying objects are just a sliver of a larger, bizarre yet magical worldview. They represent a revolution in our everyday belief, perceptions, and epistemology, not just some technology that Deep Black Aerospace can try to reverse engineer. And so if UFOs have implications for science, religion, technology, history, and maybe even the nature of humanity, studying them could just be the Hail Mary we need for the resource-constrained, multipolar nuclear world we're in.
There's something profoundly important going on here that is authentic and real.
While I was overwhelmed by the public response to my documentary with Grush, the mainstream media coverage has been pathetic, to put it very generously. The one big outlet to cover our documentary was the Washington Post. They clearly didn't watch the video. They contended with none of the substantive points we made, and instead dismissed us as intellectual frat guys.
Hey!
So I've decided to summarize the most important points from our documentary and do a little handholding for them.
All right, explain this to me like I'm a 2-year-old, okay? Because there's an element to this thing I just cannot get through my thick head.
Number one, why do UFOs consistently show up around nuclear sites? UFOs and Nukes is a book by Robert Hastings, who is the son of a special weapons officer at Malmstrom Nuclear Base in Montana. Hastings worked there as a janitor in high school in the 60s. One night, an FAA supervisor casually mentioned to him that he was tracking 5 unknowns on his scopes and called young Hastings over to his desk to check them out. Thus began a lifelong journey for Hastings, interviewing 167 US military sources, former or retired ICBM launch officers, missile maintenance, security, and radar operators. Given the nature of their jobs, monitoring our nuclear sites, they have to be the epitome of mental health.
Well, no, the missileers, you know, they're on what they call PRP, Personal Reliability Program. Like, they have to, like, report if they're, like, you know, taking ibuprofen, for God's sakes, because, you know, they're a key turner for nuclear weapons.
And no one applies for that line of work to be famous. The book is 580 pages, and it's incredibly dry and hard-headed. Read it, and then tell me you think UFOs are just a psyop. Number two, nuclear secrecy as a Trojan horse for UFO secrecy.
Not only is there a nuclear connection from UAP activity, there's a nuclear connection in terms of US government equities and how they've protected the program through nuclear provisions.
In our documentary, Grush shows that the language of the 1954 Atomic Energy Act, which defines which materials are subject to nuclear secrecy, was written in a sneaky but deliberate way to protect our UFO secrets too.
So it's kind of a sneaky way.
No, it is. If you actually read the Atomic Energy Act, if something is not a nuke, but it has radiological energy coming off it, you know, alpha, beta decay, whatever.
Same secrecy.
Same secrecy.
Legendary UFO researcher Jacques Vallée also says that the Department of Energy and the Manhattan Project clearance system is the most applicable to UFOs, not the clearances that roll up to the executive branch.
The Manhattan Project would have custody of it, and then it would go into the Atomic Energy Commission, and then it would go into the Department of Energy, which has its own line of clearances. And that's why I can't find among the people I know who have clearances above top secret, they've never heard of this.
Yeah.
They've never heard of this because you can be in the Pentagon with a top secret clearance, but if you're not briefed on the atomic secrets, you wouldn't get the clearances that you needed to do to open up that thing.
This would make sense, as a lot of UFO appearances, and likely most of the crashes, seem to take place around nuclear sites. Grush even told me in a car ride in DC that the Manhattan Project was basically the original UFO program.
Manhattan Project, they were kind of the first blue book. You know, they were getting UFO reports back in the day. There's some people I'm colleagues with that, like, their grandparents were actually, you know, the UFO report people on the Manhattan Project.
So just how deeply intertwined are UFO secrets with the atomic programs? Number three. We're past public-facing UFO debunkers, just atomic insiders who were involved in UFO reverse engineering programs all along. One of Oppenheimer's close friends and colleagues was a quantum physicist named Edward Condon. Condon did more damage to the public perception of UFOs mid-century than maybe any other academic scientist. Condon and Oppenheimer go way back. They studied together under Max Born at Göttingen in the 20s. Condon then helped pick Los Alamos as the location for the Manhattan Project, even writing the Los Alamos Primer, a document that all employees had to read upon arrival. After leaving the Manhattan Project, Condon even helped draft the McMahon Atomic Secrecy Act of 46, which was the Atomic Energy Act of 54's predecessor. So clearly the guy was clued into atomic secrets. Again, the Atomic Energy Act of 54 is what Grush is saying governs UFO secrets. So clearly Condon was an atomic insider, and if the atomic programs had anything to do with UFOs, he probably knew a thing or two about UFOs as well. Now the public-facing story is that Condon clashed with General Leslie Groves over just how extreme the atomic secrecy was at the start of the Manhattan Project. In the 50s, Condon then loses his clearance, like Oppenheimer, over communist sympathies. He then goes on to work on civilian science outreach initiatives. Then randomly, he pops back up in 1966, and his clearance is mysteriously restored. He's then placed on a panel, which deals a death blow to UFO research, claiming it's all a waste of time and money. Why would an open-minded scientist, committed to civilian outreach, be so dogmatically opposed to UFOs? Well, maybe he was blackmailed. You see, while being investigated for communist sympathies in the 50s, a dossier of field reports was being created on him in the background by an FBI field agent named Guy Hoddle. Hoddle is now famous for his 1952 Hoddle Memo, the most read document on the FBI's website. It describes an Air Force officer writing to Hoddle about a crashed UFO with an alien crew inside of it. So Hoddle definitely knew about UFOs. Was he just building blackmail on Condon and forcing him into becoming a UFO debunker? Remember, Condon wrote the McMahon Secrecy Act of 1946, which basically went on to govern UFO secrecy, if you believe David Grush.
The McMahon Act of 46, which was the predecessor to the Atomic Energy Act of 1954, the guys that were involved in Manhattan were overlaying the same ecosystem of secrecy and some of the same ways to protect stuff that they were protecting our nuclear secrets.
Number four, who is Townsend Brown? This mysterious anti-gravity inventor has traditionally been dismissed by mainstream scientists and academics as a kooky amateur that never got anywhere. He built these gravitators that look a lot like flying saucers, and a lot of his work was likely classified by the Navy. But in 1942, the Navy fires him without cause, and mysteriously he shows up at Martin Vega Corporation a year before Skunk Works is formed. Skunk Works was created to house Lockheed Martin's most secret advanced aircraft projects. And notably, their response to Grush's testimony was pretty telling. They said questions about UAPs are best answered by the federal government. That's not a flat-out rejection of the premise that they might have UFOs in their possession. But back to Townsend Brown. Detractors say that he's associated with crazy things like the Philadelphia Experiment, a clearly bogus disinfo campaign that involves teleporting a ship with the crew inside from Philadelphia to a port in Norfolk, Virginia. But through an amazing biography of Townsend Brown called The Man Who Mastered Gravity by Paul Shatskin, we find out that Brown intentionally created a lot of disinformation about his work to protect it. He showed people his fluid dielectric system that used ionic wind instead of the solid dielectric gravitator. We now even know that the B-2 stealth bomber uses Brown's electrogravitics. So we do have evidence that Townsend Brown's work did make it into deep black aerospace. He wasn't just a failed hack. And lest you might be thinking, okay, so he built some anti-gravity tech, and that's just the UFOs we're seeing now, nothing otherworldly, just Brown's inventions. He talked constantly behind closed doors and with family members about UFOs. He even formed the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, or NICAP for short, the first civilian UFO study group. Number 5. What was going on at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio? It's where the Roswell crash materials were reportedly taken. It becomes an anti-gravity research center in the 50s, and when civilian politicians would inquire about it, they'd consistently get shut down.
I called Curtis LeMay and I said, "General, I know we have a room at Wright-Patterson where you put all this secret stuff. Could I go in there?" I've never heard him get mad, but he got madder than hell at me, cussed me out, said, "Don't ever ask me that question."
Number 6. Did UFOs have anything to do with JFK's death? In 2006, a document was supposedly released under the Freedom of Information Act showing JFK asking for more information on unknowns in space, and it was written to CIA Director John McCone. The letter is dated November 12, 1963, just 10 days before JFK's death. Is this document real? Can somebody please verify or falsify it? Another CIA operative, a guy named E. Howard Hunt, also claimed that JFK's death had to do partially with his inquiries into UFOs. Okay, that's the list. Now have at it. Or maybe Congress can get its act together long enough to just get Dave Grush his clearance back so we can get him into a skiff and he can give them all the information they need on UFOs.
We were denied access to the skiff.
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 Skiff. Skiff. James Bond stuff. You leave your phone, your Fitbit.
The final thing I'll say is just in response to all of the very smart people out there that think that this is just a psyop. If this was all just a psyop, you'd think we'd have one. Just one leaked document talking about fully faking UFO threats or fabricating UFOs in their entirety. You do have letters like the one by CIA Director Walter B. Smith in 1953 saying that we should use the phenomena for psychological warfare against the Soviets. You have similar leaked letters from Alan Dulles. But in all of these cases, these high-ranking members of intelligence are saying let's use this real phenomena that exists for our own geopolitical purposes. They're not saying let's just wholesale fabricate the existence of these things. But please, it would be awesome if anybody found a document that provides any evidence about some grand UFO conspiracy. I'd personally love it. I could move to Hawaii, surf all day, and stop making these videos. As the great Carl Sagan said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. But I actually think that's completely misapplied to the UFO question. We have tons of open source evidence. Aerial sightings from average people, fighter pilots, nuclear security, politicians and military on both sides of the aisle. So instead I'll say, when extraordinary evidence is provided, extraordinary investigation is required. And right now the investigation on UFOs is downright embarrassing.